Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
And what better than to talk about as we prepare for one of the biggest, if not the biggest, holiday season of the year. The Christmas holiday season is just that time of the year when we do a lot of things differently. We spend more money than we want to. We take trips. We do all kinds of things that are exciting around holidays. I love the season, and I hope you do too. And I'm feeling, it's beginning to feel, you know, and to look a lot like Christmas, right? Well, in that regard, the show today is going to be all about the holidays, what we should do in terms of preparation, what we should do in terms of saving money if we're going to travel. And then we're going to have a discussion about the four steps everyone should take before holiday shopping begins. So settle down. We're going to fix you up so that when you do walk out your door, you are prepared. We're going to begin with Rebecca Dolan. She is with Kiplinger. She's an editor, their online editor, and she's going to talk about 22 ways to earn extra cash to cover holiday. Now, we can't get through 22 things, okay? So what I've asked Rebecca to do is to kind of narrow it down to the top five, and then we'll also talk about some other ways that you can save cash. And I think you'll learn a few things there that may be helpful. Then we're going to turn it over to actually, he was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I got more reaction to David Weliver, who talked about, he says, four out of five people sitting in first class are not richer. They're simply smarter than you and I. That stirred a few folks. So what are you talking about? We did a segment with him. I invited him back to talk a little bit more about that. It's called travel hacking. I never heard of the term before. Maybe you have. But anyway, David's going to be here to kind of explain more. I've responded to you when you call and say, I want to know more about that. Okay, he'll be here. And then Bruce McClary, who was with us a few weeks ago with the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. So that's the show. But right now, let's get to Rebecca Dolan with the – let me – I guess it's you. Rebecca, hi. Nice to have you on the show.
Hi, happy to be here.
Great. Let me do a little before joining the Kiplinger team as online community editor in 2013, she was associate travel editor at the Huffington Post, where she also handled their travel section, social media. It goes on and on. Northwestern University School. She covered lifestyle at Jacksonville Magazine in Jacksonville. In other words, folks, she knows what she's talking about. And she's talking today about there are different ways, 22 ways that you can splurge, if you can believe that, and still come out on top. What have you been smoking, Rebecca?
Nothing but holiday cheer.
Holiday cheer. Well, share with us because
high on the holidays.
I like that.
You can steal it.
Okay, I'm going to steal that. And if you're high on the holidays, one way to get there is by saving money but still buying what you want or having fun in terms of shopping, right?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned shopping because one of my favorite of the 22 ways to earn extra cash is being a mystery shopper because you're going to be out shopping anyway. So why not kill two birds with one stone? There are organizations that will pay you up to $20 per shopping experience to shop at a store and give, you know, really detailed feedback. The MSPA North America is a good place to look for opportunities there. And something that's great about the mystery shopper is you can actually do it all year. It's just a good thing to start with now.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, now is that your first of? I asked you. I said I can't go through 22 probably, but let's get to
right.
The top five.
The rest of the top five I really like because you can also carry these out throughout the year, like this one. Another one is to be a tour guide. This is a really good fit for someone who loves their hometown. Maybe likes to talk a lot. and this is, you know, this is a busy time of year for travelers. So there are going to be people who are looking to dive into the cities that they're visiting. And you can list a tour that you've created on a site like viable.com. Mm-hmm. And you should be able to bring in anywhere between $25 and $200 per person, depending on the tour that you're offering.
You mean put together your own tour and then advertise it and wow, that's a great idea.
Exactly. It's like Craigslist for tour guides.
That works. And it works.
Yeah, and you know, and it's really, you can get really niche with it, and you're bound to have someone else who has maybe a quirky interest like you do. So it's really, again, mutually beneficial for everybody.
Sure, sure. So partner up with somebody, handle the crowds. Any are there any limits on how many people you should take before you say, okay, that's enough, or as many as want to sign up to come see your city?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, that seems more like a personal preference kind of thing. You know, if you like leading a large crowd, get your big flag and hold it in the air, and people can follow you around.
Are people actually doing that?
Yeah. One of the ones that I saw that was really interesting that I would have wanted to do was a member of the White House Press Corps, I believe, leading tours of D.C.,
yeah,
which is a really interesting entree into the city, right, from a perspective that you wouldn't necessarily get otherwise. Well, I would totally do that.
We're talking with Rebecca Dolan, who knows what she's talking about, Kiplinger Online Editor. But do you need a permit, or does the city have to give you some kind of pass to let you do it, or can anyone just put together a tour and invite people to join?
It is my understanding that you just put together a tour and invite other people to join.
Okay.
The one thing is, you, at least with Viable.com that I mentioned, the site takes a 15% cut of the profit that you make, so there is a little bit of the middleman payment there.
Okay, okay. You got one more quick one before we hit the break?
Yeah, sure. Speaking of breaks, drive Uber or Lyft. It's really hot these days, and now would be a really good time to give it a try if you've ever thought about it. You know, think about all those people who need a ride home from their holiday parties.
Right, all right. So
and you could get up to $35 an hour.
So act like you're Uber or whatever the hell the name is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you do that legally?
I mean, there's definitely a background check process. You have to go through certain hoops with the company, but it's
right. Right, right.
Okay.
Rebecca Dolan, that's my guest, folks. We're giving you some tips on how to enjoy the holiday season and make some money in the process. When we come back, she'll give you some more tips that I think might be helpful to you. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on the Radio America Network. Happy holidays.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
The holiday season. My guest is Rebecca Dolan with Kiplinger. She's the online editor. We're talking about some ways that you can make this a more enjoyable, save some money, make some money. Those three things so far, good. What else have you got?
You could also save money by not making mistakes while you're shopping. That's definitely, going to keep some money in your wallet.
Okay. What do you mean by not making mistakes? What do you mean?
Well, for instance, let's say you're going out, you're not comparing prices between stores. There are plenty of sales around the holidays, but not every deal is actually a bargain. So there are websites out there like PriceGrabber.com or the browser add-on PriceBlink, like you blink your eyes, to find the lowest items on your gift list before you even have to go out and go from store to store.
Okay, so get yourself prepared before you go out and find out who's offering the best price.
Mm-hmm. And, to sort of piggyback on that one, you could be shopping at the wrong store, so it really pays to take the time to shop around. For example, you'll get the best deal on greeting cards and paper products for your holiday table and gift wrap at the dollar store. When it comes to, milk for all your holiday recipes, you'll actually get that cheaper at the supermarket than at a warehouse club like Costco or BJ's. And it's the higher-end grocers like your Whole Foods and your Trader Joe's that are going to have the lowest prices on specialty milks and non-dairy milks.
So, Rebecca, where do I go to find – where is that – all of that congregating? Where do I go if I'm sitting at home, I've got my computer, I hear you, and I want to do this? What's my first stop?
If you're sitting at home, the first thing you do is you go to Kiplinger.com and you either search Best Buys or Worst Buys, and you will get a plethora of recommendations for what to buy at different stores, from Whole Foods to Aldi to Trader Joe's, even Amazon if you're shopping online. We have a wealth of information for you.
You sneaked that right in on me, didn't you? I set myself. Okay.
We have a great resource. Okay. I want everybody out there to just benefit from our money-saving knowledge.
You also sent me a note saying selling unwanted items can earn you extra cash. What are you talking about? Stuff I got around the house?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you want to clean. You got guests coming over for holidays. You got a big pile of old cell phones gathering dust, or maybe they're damaged. You can sell smartphones, tablets, digital cameras, game consoles. The list goes on and on and on sites like gazelle.com, gamestop.com, and nextworth.com. They'll all pay cash, or you can do PayPal, check. There are plenty of ways to get that cash in your pocket.
Okay. You said my own credit card can be an untapped source of cash. How is that possible?
Yeah, so here's a fun fact. The average household has about $205 worth of credit card perks that they don't redeem every year. And you really want to redeem them before there's the possibility of your card changing the rules and you actually lose some of your benefits. So if you can't convert your points to cash, swap them in for an all-purpose credit card, like an Amex gift card if you have an American Express, or you may even get more bang for your buck if you convert your points to a retailer-specific card, like an Amazon card or a Walmart card. Or something like that.
You know what I'm getting from you is that there are all kind of things sitting right at our fingertips, but we're just too either we just don't know about them, or we're too lazy to actually find out. But there's a lot of ways you can save money simply by just doing things yourself right from your own home, right?
Exactly.
Well, I like the last one, at least this is the one I have, is adjusting your tax withholdings helps you claim.
Oh, yes, that's a Kiplinger favorite.
Okay. And that's on the website as far as well that you tell us how that works, right?
Absolutely. Basically, you just get a new W-4 form from your employer and to claim extra allowances, and your take-home pay should rise on your next payday with your next paycheck. But you can go to Kiplinger.com. Search adjust your withholding, and you will get plenty of information.
Okay, folks, I want you to know this. Let's talk finally about the Kiplinger and the NAPFA, which is the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors. You're hosting. You have a web chat coming up on Thursday, December 10th. Tell me about that real quick, would you?
Yes, it is a live Q&A about maximizing your money, and personal finance experts from NAPFA will be on hand all day from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern time to answer any of your personal finance and money questions.
And where do I go for that?
You come to www.kiplinger.com.
Okay. Folks, this is for you. Listen, use these tips. She's taking the time to be with you. Rebecca, thank you so much for taking time to join us and for giving us. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you for having me. Happy
Absolutely.
Holidays.
It was a pleasure having you on. All right, folks, listen, I can only tell you about it. You have to act out. Coming up next, you want to save money. You want to be in that first-class seat when you climb on that jet? My next guest says it is possible. Stay with us. That really puts me right in the holiday mood. I love that. I do love that as we get closer to the biggest holiday that we celebrate in these United States, and I guess around the world. So many of us, as I said at the beginning of the show, are going to be doing things that we don't normally do. We're going to spend money that we don't really have sometimes. It's just a time when we feel good about a lot of things. But that's why this whole program is devoted to making you be sensible about things so that at the end of the season, you're not sitting there figuring out how you're going to pay some bills. And joining us again is a gentleman that I got more response to David Welliver's comments about travel hacking. You remember a couple of weeks ago I had him on the show? Well, you guys went crazy. What is this? And we didn't know that. And tell us more about that. So we've invited David to come back to be with us. And he's on the telephone today. In studio with me is Bruce McClary, who is the vice president of the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, the NFCC. And he's going to have a segment or two at the end of the show. He's going to talk about the four steps that he says everyone should take before holiday shopping begins. First, let me say hello to David. Hi, David.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm fine. Nice to have you back. Are you on an airplane?
Thanks for having me.
You're probably sitting in first class somewhere flying in some direction. No?
Not today. I'm actually done for the year, which is nice.
Okay. And in studio, sitting across from me, is Bruce McClary, who's agreed to sit down in this segment because this is all the same business. Bruce, nice to have you back on the show.
It's great to be on the show, and I'm in a first-class studio.
Well, thank you very much for that. You see why we love them? That's why. All right, to both of you, happy holidays, and thanks for being with us here. All right, David, I wasn't familiar with this term travel hacking. What does that encompass? What are we talking about when we talk about travel?
Sure, Paul. So travel hacking is a term that's popped up online in the last several years that refers to kind of going above and beyond to get travel as cheaply as possible. And a lot of times when you hear travel hacking, it's not just travel, but it's first class travel, kind of luxury accommodations for, you know, the cost of a regular ticket or even less sometimes. So it's just, it's this community of people who really try to figure out the biggest ways to save and to get the most value for the travel they do.
Okay, so, but you tossed down the gauntlet, because here's what you said. Four out of five people sitting in first class aren't richer, they're smarter. They know how to travel hack. And you think my listeners may have, well, you were right, they did have an interest in this. What a reaction we've had, especially for the holiday travel season. Now, is this something that you can, and Bruce, you can jump in here, because you're saying it takes a little bit more planning. Mm-hmm. I hear you, and I want to avail myself of this, and I'm flying out in the next 2 weeks or next 10 days or whatever. Am I going to be able to travel hack?
There's different levels, if you will. And the reality is, as I think we talked about last time, you know, it does take some time and planning to get those, you know, freer or discounted first class seats, because you have to build up some status with an airline. You have to be loyal to an airline for at least a year. That's really the way to do that. Now, that said, there's a lot of things you can do to save a lot of money on your next ticket or hotel stay, and some of these things can be done fairly quickly.
Go there quickly.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so let's say, I mean, the first step and easiest thing that anyone can do, especially if you need to book travel in the next few weeks and you haven't planned ahead, is to monitor fares. And there's a great website out there called Airfare Watchdog, where you can type in the route that you're flying. Let's say you're flying from New York to Chicago, or you know, Portland, Maine, where I'm from, to Dallas.
Right.
And you can type in that route and your email address, and they will send you updates if a fare drops. So this can be a way, especially in when you have a couple weeks ahead of time, to make sure you get the best deal, because the airfares are crazy because they change every day. And you never know, is it better to book in advance or better to book last minute? This can help you get a lower rate.
And
so that's very easy.
And one question about that, because a lot of people are chasing lower fares and they're going to these hub websites,
right,
these travel websites that promise to get you the best deal. Are you basically saying that those don't always get you the best deal? You should look elsewhere and take some time to do some of your own investigating?
Hmm. Yeah, it's a good question, Bruce. As far as airfare goes, the fares are pretty transparent on those sites. So what you get on those sites usually will be the same as if you went to, say, Delta's website directly. The only difference might be a $4 or $5 booking fee that website charges, although not all of them do that. Where you can actually save is with hotel stays. Now, those websites, say Expedia, Priceline, Orbitz, if you're doing just a comparison search on hotels, they're obligated to give you
Trivago, David. I mean, they say the very best in the world. Is that true or no?
Oh, but they're a good one, too. There's lots. It depends on what you're going for. So.
Okay, hold on. You know, every time I get to talk about something great, Al Peterson pulls a commercial plug on me. So we got to stop for just a minute and take a break. And Al, you can defend yourself if you want. We'll be right back with more. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. Bruce McClary in studio. David Welliver on the telephone. We're talking about how you can save money when you travel. We'll be right back.
You be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Barry.
And my guests in studio, I have Bruce McClary, who is VP, Vice President of Communications for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, that's NFCC. And in a little bit, he'll tell you how you can get to them and find out more information on what they do. And on the telephone, coming from somewhere in the world, God only knows where David Welliver is, but his organization is, he's the founder of Money Under 30, and he would dare suggest that you can save money, you can actually fly first class if you do all the things that need to be done. But as Bruce pointed out, it takes some time. It doesn't just happen. And let me ask you about that. You were talking about the site you go to. Tell us again what the name of it is. And my question is, does that include international travel, David?
It does, although international travel, there's some special tips that you can save you a lot of money, actually, on flying internationally. And one of the more interesting ones is if you buy a ticket sometimes, let's say in New York, it may be cost more than if you bought the exact same ticket from Buenos Aires if you're flying there. And there's this difference in pricing by country. And so finding those lower fares for the same ticket that are sold elsewhere is a little tricky, but it can be done.
Okay.
There's a great tool. The website's a little long, but if you Google Google ITA, it's actually a company that's owned by Google now called ITA Software. They have this flight matrix similar to what you might use on other sites, but it allows you to select the place of purchase. And so by doing a few searches on here, you can see if you're flying internationally, if it's actually less expensive to buy the ticket where you're going mm-hmm. instead of where you're coming from.
So it's possible to do. Now, and the reason that's of interest to me, I have friends in Ireland. They fly mm-hmm. here and I fly there, right? So we're
right.
comparing price, and all of a sudden they're paying $300 less
yes.
to fly from Dublin to New York to Dublin than I'm flying to fly from New York to Dublin to New York. And I
exactly.
said, well, and so they said, well, why don't you buy your ticket from us? But I couldn't do it. So now you're saying there's a way it can be done?
Buying the ticket is the tricky part. So it's easy to search. This tool actually lets you see that difference. Let's say it's $300 less. Now, the trick is if you have friends there who can buy the ticket for you, that's probably the best way to go.
Is that completely legal, my friend? I guess it is if you can do it, right?
Yeah, if you can do it, as long as they buy it in your name. Now, you know, the other way to do that is to use some tools, you know, that a proxy server that masks your true internet location and go onto the website as if you're coming from that country. It's a little bit more advanced. It's a little more dubious as far as what the airlines would think of that. But some people will do that. But one other thing I'll say, we had a lot of success with this when we flew several years ago to Croatia for a wedding. We used an old-fashioned travel agency, and that actually saved us about $500 on the ticket for each of us.
Wow.
So the savings of $1,000 over what we were seeing when we searched ourselves. And I think that because they have direct relationships with some of the international airlines that we
mm-hmm.
flew,
mm-hmm.
they could get that better rate, which goes back to what we were talking about in the last segment about hotels. I just wanted to mention this. When you search on travel aggregator sites, Trivago, Expedia, things like that, the hotels have to give you the same rate as on their own website. That's a contractual thing. But they're paying those sites a commission, a percentage of your hotel stay. So a lot of times if you see the hotel you want and you call the hotel's 800 number directly,
mm-hmm.
you might be able to negotiate a slightly better fare because they can do things over the phone that they can't publish on their
okay.
website.
And they don't have to pay that 15% to
exactly.
Trivago, so you might save them. Folks, we're just trying
that.
To give you the tips that can save you money this holiday season. I hope you're listening to it, Bruce, because these make sense.
They do make sense. I do have a question about the credit card deals that offer the free round trip on an airline when you sign up. What's your thought on those? Is it worth chasing those if you're sitting on the plane, they're making the pitch that you can get a free trip if you sign up for their credit card?
You know, I think if you have good credit and you're responsible with your credit cards and getting a new credit card isn't going to be some temptation to do silly things, yes. I mean, those deals are for the taking. And they can really and a lot of those credit card deals are how people start accumulating the miles needed to, say, eventually get first class upgrades. But the free trips are there for the taking, and a lot of the credit cards have annual fees, but they don't charge them the first year. So it's something you can decide if it's going to be worth it to keep long run or not. You know, you can use it and see what you think, but get that free trip.
And the points that come along with those card offers, are they any more limited in redemption than regular points that you would accumulate on your own?
Well, it's a good point, and it really depends on the card. But if it's an airline-specific card, say it's coming from American or Delta or United, you know, those miles are only going to be used on that airline, so you're going to have to book it through them, which may or may not be limiting depending on what you want to do with it, versus some other cards that have points that can be used for anything, any airline or even redeemed for cash. So it's just a matter of looking at those details and thinking what might work best for you.
Gentlemen, is there a downside to ordering and getting these cards? Can you get too many credit cards? Can it hurt your credit? Or hurt you in any way?
Well, I think it can hurt your credit if you start getting too many of these at once. Okay. That certainly is a drawback there. Plus, you have to think about it. Before you apply for these cards, as David mentioned, you've got to have good credit to qualify. So you have to have good credit to start with. But moderation is the best approach.
The best. Using the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I agree. It's all about moderation. You do hear stories about guys that go out and get every single one. And then they go out and get them, you know, in a couple years later when they have better deals. But I think for most people, that's probably not a good thing. It's going to hurt your credit, and it opens you up to having dozens of accounts that you might not need. And, you know, there's all sorts of risks with that.
Yes, risk with that. All right, Mr. Welliver, give us your best closing advice here for those who are traveling. I want to travel and want to make sure that they take advantage of everything out there. What's your best advice? I know that's a broad
question.
Well, I
think the best advice, it's kind of old-fashioned in this world of all these online tools, but sometimes the best thing to do is pick up the phone. You know, once you have what looks like the best price, call the company and see if they can do better. Talk to a travel agent who will talk to you for free at least and see what they can offer. And, you know, if you take that extra step, you may be able to save 15 or 20%.
Okay. David Welliver, it's a pleasure to have you back on, and I hope that satisfies the growing masses out there who want to travel and who heard you very well and want to be the one that gets that first class seat as opposed to heading back to the rear bathroom. That's where I'm using. Thanks. Listen, let me wish you a happy holiday, my friend. Have a great time, and we'll talk to you in 2016, okay?
You too, Paul. Happy holidays.
All right, happy holidays to you. Bruce, you're going to stick around. A couple of things I know you want to talk about.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. Listen to that voice. Sounds a lot like Bing Crosby, doesn't it? You know, I wonder if that was Bing. Is that Bing Al singing that? Yeah, of course it is. And if anything is going to put you in the mood, and I'm talking with Bruce McClary, who's in studio with us today. He actually had last two segments, but I asked him to sit in earlier, and I'm glad you did.
Thank you.
Doesn't that kind of put you in the mood?
It does. I feel like I'm on a holiday special.
Yeah. That's great. You're listening to Home and Family Finance on the Radio America Network. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council and the Credit Union National Association, and we thank them for their continued support of the program dedicated to making all of us financially fit. And I'll ask you this question, and I'll do it again and again. Are you financially fit? And if you're not, why not? That's a condition that you ought to always be in, financially fit in every possible way. The Defense Credit Union Council, our sponsor, and its member credit unions believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals right on the base that you're on. 177 military installations around the world. Most of them have a financial institution right there, a credit union, a defense credit union service. Available to you. Use that service, folks. Just walk in. You don't have to be a financial genius. You don't have to know what you're doing. That's why they're there. They'll help you learn and know things that you should know. Military Saves. Set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. Go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And as I always say to you, you don't have to be in the military to save. Saving is good for everyone, isn't it? Isn't that true?
It is. It's good for everyone.
You know that as well as anybody.
Good to make it a practice all year round.
You know, really struck by your message to me the other day. And you said, look, Paul, there are four steps that I think everyone should take before the holiday shopping begins. Here we are at the beginning of the holiday season. Now,
right.
I'm talking about the Christmas holiday season on this particular Sunday and days thereafter. There are things we should do. And people blow right by what they know better and to do things that because I want to do this, I want that. But that's not enough of a reason to blow your budget or waste your time and waste your resources.
Right. There are things people should be doing all year round, and it's not too late to start some of these things. We think we're right in the middle of the holiday season. Shopping has already begun. People have been hitting the stores, spending money, emptying their pockets. It's still not too late to do some of these things.
And I talked about savings. I know you want to start review the savings,
yeah.
Right? Go ahead.
Take a look into your savings account and see what's there. And think about how much you're saving and how much you're putting aside each month. How much you have in your saving account really will determine how much of a chance you have of staying out of debt this holiday season and staying on budget. So you want to look at your savings. And a good tip for those, even if you're not ready for the holiday season this year, start next year by looking at how much you spent in the holiday season mm-hmm. this year. Divide that by 10. Start putting away those deposits on a monthly basis until October. You've got 10 deposits in the bank. Then you've got the cash set aside to cover most, if not all, of the expenses for next holiday season.
This is so basic and most of us can do this.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason we don't do it is because we don't think about doing it. Now, this is, you know, you have your savings account. Don't mess with that. But if you know that you're spending X number, let's say you spend $3,000, put away $300 a month.
Right.
Right?
Just
for 10 months.
Find room in your budget and get into the habit. It's all about getting into the habit. And you also want to get into the habit of not relying so much on credit either. And at this time of year, it's always good before you hit the stores, especially if you're taking the plastic, to check those credit limits. Make sure you've got room on your credit card if you are going to be using a credit card so that you don't run over the credit limit. So that's very important because you could get extra fees. Your interest rate could go up. There are all kinds of penalties for going over the credit limit and overspending. And if you're using your credit card, make sure you have a plan to pay off those purchases immediately so you're not charged the interest on that account. That's very important.
Bruce McCleary is Vice President of the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, NFCC. Tell us about what is that? How do you guys work? What do you do?
Well, the NFCC is the National Foundation for Credit Counseling at nfcc.org. And it's a national nonprofit organization. We have nearly 600 locations in communities all across the country that offer credit counseling, offer budget counseling, housing counseling, student loan counseling at low or no cost. And the expertise is there. The advice is there. There's so much people can learn from going in and talking to.
You mean you're out there right now? I've got to do is walk through the door or
right
look up
now.
And the cost is minimal, if at all.
Minimal, if at all. And many of these locations also offer free budget and credit workshops, housing workshops, so many ways to learn about managing your money better. It's great to get in touch with somebody at an NFCC member agency just by logging on to nfcc.org and finding a location near you.
Folks, what could be simpler? Look, I get your cards and I didn't know, but what am I going to do? The NFCC is sitting out there, 600 locations. This is what they do. But they can't do it unless you say, I need help. You got to do that. That's the way it works, right?
That's the way it works. And it's a nonprofit organization, and it's available to anybody. So anybody who has questions about their credit, who wants to manage their budget a little more efficiently, who wants to own a home for the first time or pay off that student loan debt, the resource is there, and it's easy to find. And even if there's not one near you, going on the internet, you can find one that can help you by phone or online.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about calculating debt ratios. We mentioned that a little bit. Check credit limits, make shopping lists, all of the things that you should be doing, especially if you expect 2016 to be bright and cheery. We'll be right back with Bruce McCleary. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. Listening to Home and Family Finance. My guest is Bruce McCleary, Vice President, the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, the NFCC. We're talking about things that can make your holiday season worthwhile and fun and not pain you in the beginning of 2016. Now, we talked a little bit about savings, which is important. We talked about credit, check your credit limits, make sure you don't overflow. How about this debt ratio? What is that, Bruce?
Well, that's a tally of your overall debt obligations, everything you have, all your regular monthly payments that you make each month. And it's not just limited to your credit cards. There's other debt involved in that as well. So the best way, it's a simple calculation. You just get out a basic calculator and you take the monthly payments you have to all of your debt obligations,
right,
and
right,
you divide it by your gross monthly income. That's the monthly income before deductions are made, mm-hmm, for taxes and,
okay,
insurance. And the number you get, that's your debt ratio. And all the experts say it's always best to be at or below 36% for your debt
folks,
ratio.
Let me just stop. Bruce, it's so simple. Because you say something like a term that we don't normally use, a debt ratio. Well, I don't know what that. It's as simple as that. Add them all up, right?
Right.
And then divide those by your income.
Right. Just divide your monthly debt payments by your monthly gross income,
yeah,
income before taxes and deductions. Right. And if the number you get is 36 or lower, you're okay. You're
okay
in the good zone, but it's always better to be as low as possible. So
right,
if you're at 36, don't think, hey, that's fantastic.
But it's better than 40 or 45 or numbers,
right,
that are telling you that you're in big trouble.
Right. And one of the big things that's tied to your debt ratio is whether or not you're going to qualify for the best interest rates or even be approved for a loan, and especially in the world of housing. If you're looking to refinance your mortgage, if you're looking to buy a house, if you've got a debt ratio that's climbing up into the 40s or
right,
50s, you're in trouble.
That's right. Right. And if you apply, that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to say, list out your debts. Give me your income.
Right.
And they're going to do it anyway, so you might as well know what that is, and it's easy to find out.
Right. It's how they determine whether or not you can afford the loan. But for your own purposes, even if you're not looking to finance a house or refinance,
yeah,
anything, it's good to know that you're down in that 36% or lower zone, because it means you can afford the cost of living. You can afford to put money away in savings. You can afford to provide for yourself.
And if I have any questions, I can walk into an NFCC office and say,
sure,
help me.
Sure. And a NFCC certified financial specialist can help you put a budget together. If
you know what? I'm heading out right now. Haven't made a list, but I think I know what I want.
Mm.
And I'm just going to get out there and I don't need a list. I don't. I got this, Bruce. I got this.
Oh, you need a list. You need to do what Santa does. Make a list and check it twice and have that list on you in the store. And really, my best advice to everybody is do not depart from that list. Do not stray from that list. Do not start impulse buying, because when you sit down and make that list, you need to price the items out. You need to do some research, make sure you're getting the best deal.
Yeah.
And then once you know where those items are and how to get them, stick to it.
But I'm in the store, Bruce, and I've got my list. And follow, but oh, wait, right over there is a thing that the kid wants or I always wanted to get for my husband. It's sitting right there, and it's not too expensive.
Mm.
Isn't that, boy, that temptation is killer, isn't it?
If the money isn't there, it's probably not a good idea. And what's a better idea is to write the information down, take it home, and give yourself a 48-hour cooling off period. Think about the purchase, whether or not you need it, and if after 48 hours you're still hopping and jumping to try to get that thing, look at your budget, see if there's room in it. If there isn't room in it, then you probably should wait and find a way to get it later.
Folks, we get so excited about Black Friday, about Cyber Monday, but we should be excited about calculating how to pay this off Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all coming up, and if you don't do that, you're going to start 2016 with a lot of financial pain.
Right. And track everything. Track all you're spending this time of year. It's so important to account for the things that aren't just gifts, but holiday entertainment, travel costs, those kind of things. And there's a calculator on the NFCC website. If you go to the tools section of the website, look for financial calculators. We have a holiday budget calculator that you can use to keep an ongoing track of those expenses to see where you are. At the end, it's always interesting to tally everything up and see how much you spent, because 9 times out of 10, people are spending more than they think they are.
That's right. That's right. We took a recent trip to New York, and they had some of my favorite booze on sale. But, you know, it was $180 for a case or whatever that I hadn't planned. And fortunately, I'd say, no, we're just not going to do it. And there are other folks saying, well, yeah, but look, it doesn't make any difference whether the price is right. Mm-hmm. The question is whether your budget is right.
Right. It's all about affordability.
Bruce McCleary, Vice President of the Communications for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, on this holiday period. Thank you for coming in and sharing with us.
Thank you, and have a happy holiday.
Same to you. Absolutely happy holiday. And if you listen to the advice, folks, that we just talked about, if you follow that, it's going to be a lot more joyful for you. Al, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Thank you very much. We're looking for you next week, same place, same time. Join us then.